I always say it when I'm here, it's a joy to be with you. There's always such a wonderful and warm welcome. There's always wonderful worship. And there's always a sense of the presence of God. So let's just pray before I bring the word. Father, we thank you for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, who lights up our lives, who lights up the darkness, who shows us the way. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I want to share a message with you from the Psalm of David, Psalm 63. And as I read this, take note of the pronouns. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. A Psalm of David regarding a time when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you! I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become food of jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear to tell the truth will praise him, while liars will be silenced. A Psalm of David. He really has written and given us some amazing psalms. And so as we come to the word today, you know, as we look around us in the world, we live in a materialistic society. We're bombarded with advertisements to get more, to be happier, to go ahead in life. And yet we're living in a time where there seems to be greater dissatisfaction, greater despair, and greater discontent than we've seen for a long time. Why is that? Because of everything that we may have, our lives, our souls, our hearts are empty if we're missing the most important possession we can have, Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of our lives. David found himself in the wilderness on a number of occasions. He found himself in the wilderness when he was having to hide from Saul, who wanted to kill him because Saul was jealous of David becoming king and of the fame that he had gained in Jerusalem. And what we see as David goes through that wilderness is God working out his plans and purposes, not only for David, but for the world. David would become king, prophecy would be fulfilled, and through the tribe of Judah, our Redeemer, our Savior, Jesus Christ, would come. But there was another instance when David ended up in the wilderness, and that is when he was king of Israel, a united kingdom, Israel and Judah. And Absalom, his son, rebelled against him and ousted him, and David had to flee, give up his throne and flee into the wilderness. He left behind the luxury of his palace. He left behind the joy and glory of being in the tabernacle where God was present. And he had to adapt with 700 men approximately who followed him into the wilderness to life in the wilderness, a life of scarcity, a life in which there was deprivation, a life in the heat where there was a constant thirst. What a change in circumstances. And yet, what we see in the life of David, in spite of these circumstances, is his focus on God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly, or as some versions put it, early, I seek your face. David, in spite of his circumstances, yearned after God. If you and I find ourselves in times, as we do, of going through a wilderness where we feel deprived, where we feel we've lost something, times of loss, going through times of loss, going through times of doubt and uncertainty, going through times of discontent. Where is our focus? One of the things the Bible teaches us about being in the wilderness is that God does some of his best work right there. And we don't always recognize it. You'll recall the story of Moses. Had to flee Egypt because he killed an Egyptian and Pharaoh wanted to kill him. So he fled into the wilderness where he came face to face with God in the burning bush and was given the mission to lead Israel out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. Going forward to about 3 BC, when Jesus was born, he became the Savior of the world, your Savior and mine. But before he went to the cross, he was taken and sent to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And in that wilderness, he faced hideous temptations, terrible temptations, in his hours of greatest need by Satan. He overcame Satan in the wilderness by knowing the Word of God. Satan quoted half of the truth, but Jesus knew the whole truth. You and I need, in the days in which we find ourselves, to know the Word of God. Because half-truths are being told. Sometimes half-truths are being preached from the pulpit, and sometimes truths are being denied from the pulpit, like the virgin birth, like Jesus rising from the dead. So we need to fight those untruths with truth. We need to know. But then Jesus had to fulfill his mission. He had to set his eyes, or he did set his eyes, towards Jerusalem. His disciples didn't want him to go, but he knew he had to be there. It was his mission to go. He had to go through, if I may put it, another wilderness in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he felt so very alone. Even his closest friends, his disciples, went to sleep. because they were so tired and worn out when he needed the help. And he ended up praying in that, God, not my will, but yours be done. Hebrews tells us, for the joy set before him, he did that. The joy set before him for us in this church today are those who have gathered, are gathering, and will gather around the world. We were his joy. Is he our joy? As much as God was David's joy when he was in the wilderness. If you and I find ourselves in a wilderness, let's realize that God has us there for a purpose. Nothing we go through is wasted with God, no matter what that may be. And sometimes we go through very hard and very tough and very challenging times where we can wonder, is he even with us? David teaches us the lesson, never doubt. God, you are my God. No doubt in spite of his circumstances. Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my Savior. In spite of the circumstances. So what do these times in the wilderness teach us? Firstly, maybe we find ourselves in a wilderness not because of circumstances, but because of some of the things we've done or decisions that we have made. And God may take us into a wilderness there to awaken a deep desire for that close relationship with God again. Or if circumstances take us there and we know God is our God, the yearning in our life should be for an ever more closer relationship with God. David makes this confession that God is his life. He lives in an unbroken personal relationship with God. You'll recall when he sinned with Bathsheba and he was confronted by the prophet, and he said, the prophet said to him, told him a story, and David had to confess that he was the object of that story. He didn't look for excuses. He just said, I am the man. And then he sought God's face. David had this deep desire while in the wilderness to continue with God. So in these circumstances, he confesses God is his God. If you're going through difficult times, you've known Christ as your Savior and Lord. Maybe you can think back to times that he has brought you through. Confess to him that he is your Lord and your Savior in spite of the circumstances. I'm not saying that's easy. It's taken me a while to learn that lesson. Paul says, I've learned in everything to be content in all situations. And sometimes God teaches us that lesson in the wildernesses that we go through. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul, my very being longs after you. And that's what David says here. I earnestly search for you. No matter where I am, I search for you. And then he says, my soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there's no water. The desert is a dry place, and one suffers thirst there. When we go through a spiritual wilderness, it's a dry and nasty place. But there's good news. There is water. We thirst for the living waters Remember Jesus when he encountered the woman of Samaria at the well, and he asked her for water. And she said, "There you are, a Jew asking me, a Samaritan," because there was enmity between the two, "for water?" And Jesus replied and said to her, "If you knew who it was who was asking you for water, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living water." Jesus is the spring of living water. And when we drink of his water, the Bible tells us we should be filled to overflowing, so that the blessing we receive can flow over into the lives of others. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And through our lives, let us bring his blessing into the lives of others. John Piper said this: "Learn from David what to do in this broken-hearted, or this moment of being in the wilderness. He prays. The whole psalm is addressed to God, and he asks for one thing: not protection, not victory, but God himself, satisfying his soul like water satisfies thirst in a dry and weary land. Sometimes God takes us into the wilderness so that we will realize just how much he means to us and how much we miss him, and cause us to yearn after him again, to put our relationship right with him again. That's one aspect. But as we look at David, his relationship with God is right, and he's going to go through this wilderness experience with his eyes focused on God. "God, you are my God." He remembers going to the tabernacle, going to church, and experiencing in that tabernacle the presence and the power of the presence of God. And I think all of us sitting here, or most of us sitting here, have experienced in church the presence of God and been touched by the power of God. And when we experience that, we don't want to lose it. But we need to realize we're not always going to feel like that going through this pilgrimage we call life. But we need to keep our eyes on the fact, like David did in the wilderness, that God is always his God. He's always present. And as we see further on in the psalm, he trusts God. When we go through these times, we need to realize, even if we don't feel it, he is with us. The enemy might try and come in and tempt us to think that we have lost it. We have angered God. He's forgotten us. There is a cure, even if that is the case. John in his epistle writes that when we sin, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Hebrews tells us we have a great high priest who intercedes for us. You will remember Jesus telling Peter, "Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." And Jesus then said to Peter — Peter must have paled, I would have. Who wants to go through a time like that? And then Jesus said to Peter, "But I have prayed for you." And maybe Peter thought, "Thank you, Lord." But Jesus said, "I've prayed for you. Not that God takes you out of the situation, but that God, that your faith will not fail." So one of the things that Jesus is praying in heaven for us, because Hebrews tells us he intercedes for us there, is that our faith will not fail. He doesn't want us to fail. He doesn't want to lose anyone in his family. He's there to cover for us. If your faith is being challenged, know that he is praying for you. And the enemy that we have does come and put us into situations that challenge our faith. But remember the times of encounter that you have had and I have had with Christ. Because when we remember, it gives us hope for the now and hope for an outcome. Because we know as he's been with us in the past, so he will be with us now. What is it that made this difference in David's life? We find the answer, I believe, in verse 3. Here's what David declares. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. That is some statement. When we look to the cross, what we see there is unfailing love of God towards us through Jesus. But when we look at the cross, we need to be able to see the unfailing love that is ours. And it should awaken in us a great sense of hope and a great sense of loving the Lord back. Just think of all the Lord has brought you through. When I do the same, I realize just how much his grace has been sufficient for me. I realize that when I have been weak, he has been my strength. And David knows this truth. And that's what we see in this psalm. He knows that God loves him. God is a God of love. Your unfailing love is better than life. So what's David saying? I'm willing to die to self to experience your love. If we're truly to live, we need to die to self. And isn't that a long and a hard process? There's parts of me that still need to die to Christ. But I thank him, and I've said this here before, I thank him for the promise in his word that the good work he started in us, he will see through to completion. There's a verse to quote to Satan when he tells you, you and I are not good enough and we'll never reach the place that God wants us to. It's his work in us as we yield to him. David was fully yielded to the God he served. Wonderful, a really wonderful psalm. So David says, your love is better than life. So I'm going to praise you as long as I live. No matter what I go through, David is saying here, I will continue to praise you. What happens when we praise the Lord with our focus on him, in spite of circumstances, is that joy arises in us as we focus on him, as we recall how he has been with us and brought us through, as we recall who he is, this omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful God. As we praise, joy starts to rise within us. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. As you read the psalm, can you see that the joy of the Lord, the joy that David takes in the Lord, is his strength? He says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. There again, another essential for us in this wilderness that we may go through is prayer, communion with God. Even if we feel we're praying against the ceiling, that's on our side of things. If we've cleared things between us and God through repentance, if it feels like there's a ceiling, that's the enemy trying to discourage. Prayer is essential. There are times we can pray with power and know that God is hearing us. And there are times when it's difficult to pray, when sometimes all we can do is groan. But God reads those groans in heaven too. I went through a time a little while back, and I can't remember if I shared this with you, where I didn't want to pray anything to God or ask anything of Him. All I wanted to do was sit or be quiet and be aware of His presence. Become aware of the truth that in Him we live and move and have our being. And I think David knew that truth. God sees you. God sees you. And then we come to verse 5. And he says, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. Note again, I will praise you with songs of joy. He's in the wilderness. Food is scarce. maybe they're hungry, going through times of lack. But here he says, you are better than the richest feast. And when he said this or prayed this, wrote this, he must have been remembering the rich feasts he had in his palace. What a change. But he says, God's better. God's better than anything this world can offer us. And this is a truth people haven't grasped. So we have billionaires wanting to become bigger billionaires at the expense of people in the world who's already struggling to survive. Only Christ will truly satisfy. And if we know in the conditions or the circumstances we find ourselves in, He satisfies me more than the richest feast, we will prevail. We will know what true contentment means, even when we have lack. And that's not the easiest of things. It's not the easiest. Which is why the discipline of prayer, the discipline of knowing the scriptures, the discipline that strengthens us in our faith is so necessary. David was a very disciplined person for the most part. Verse 6, he says, I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. It couldn't have been easy going to sleep. The terrific heat during the day and the freezing temperatures at night in the wilderness. But David doesn't waste that time. He meditates on God, on the truth of God, on who God is. And in doing so, he comes to the next verse and declares, because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. So as he meditates on God, as he's maybe remembering defeating Goliath, as he's maybe remembering being called from the field when he was guarding the sheep and being anointed by Samuel, as he's remembering how God has led him to bring the tabernacle the symbol of God's presence, to Jerusalem, it is strengthening David. And he realizes and confesses that God has been his helper. And that is a confession that we need to hold on to. I can stand here and say, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing now if God was not my helper. But I'm blessed to be here, and I'm blessed to be doing what I'm doing because God is my helper. As God's people, moving on in that verse, as God's people, like David, we need to realize we have an enemy that seeks to pull us down and to destroy us. But here's what David says, that I sing for joy under the shadow of your wings. Let's remember to sing praises to God as we realize and know that he is our protection. The Lord is, it's a bit of a different illustration. The Lord is a strong and mighty tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. David knew his salvation was because God was covering him with the wings. God is covering us. God is watching over us. Remember that in the wilderness. And then David says in verse 8, I cling to you. Your strong right hand upholds me securely. We've noticed here now a deep desire in David to purposefully praise God. Let's remember in our wilderness wanderings, when we go through them, to purposefully praise God. It's wonderful to be together. That's why church is so important. To be together, to come and purposefully praise God. If you've been like me at times, there's times where I haven't wanted to go to church. I just haven't felt like it. I'm not feeling good inside. I've been challenged. I've been feeling depressed or whatever. But I get to church and something changes. The dynamic changes and I praise him and I walk out of that church with hope risen up in my life again. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, says the author of Hebrews. Again, notice the praise. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling. Are you clinging? There's times, you know, when I've watched some videos on mountain climbing in Everest or the Alps, or these guys that climb up the side of buildings or these tall towers, and just thinking, I hope you've got a good grip, because if you slip, you're going to die. And it's, gee. But here's David. I cling. He's clinging to his lifeline. We have a lifeline in Christ. We have a lifeline called prayer. But cling to Jesus. Never let him go. And then he says this, your strong right hand holds me securely. I've seen, and I'm sure you have as well, videos where people are climbing and they start to slip, whether it's a mountain or a building, and there's somebody else there, and they reach down and they clasp hands, and that person doesn't fall. Now, the person that's falling or threatening to fall is holding on with all his might. He's trying, but there's a stronger hand holding on. Hold on to Christ with all your might and realize that his might, which is far greater, is holding on to you. And then what we see here is David wholeheartedly trusting God. Wholeheartedly trust God. Wholeheartedly long for him in spite of circumstances. Wholeheartedly have a deep desire to purposefully praise God, and then have a deep desire to trust God wholeheartedly. We have an enemy who seeks to pull us down. And sometimes he works through people that come and say or do nasty things. Paul reminds us that we have enemies, but that behind the human enemies we have, there's a spiritual enemy. David had enemies all around him, but here's his declaration. Those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. Our enemy that's plotting to destroy us is fighting a losing battle because Christ defeated him on the cross. And it's the same as we see in wars that have gone before, that have been fought. The more that the foe is losing, the more intense they fight the battle, trying to win. And I think that's what we're seeing in the world today. The enemy of our souls is fighting from a position of defeat, but he's still fighting fiercely. But here's the thing, he's being defeated. We have a risen Savior. We have Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will one day return and put this world to rights and install God's kingdom ethics and God's kingdom rule, and will sentence our enemy to the nether regions. So, if you're going through a wilderness, I trust that Psalm 63 has been an encouragement, or will continue to be an encouragement to you. Chrysostom, who was a great early church preacher, who was called, I believe, the Golden Mouth, because he preached so much better than myself, said this: Psalm 63 should be read every day. God, today we come together to declare in the words of David. Jesus, we come together to declare, God, you are our God. Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. And in this dry and thirsty land called the world that we find ourselves in, our souls thirst for you. Thank you that we find ourselves under the protection of your wings, and that you uphold us when we are weak by your righteous right hand, that you are always present with your people. May we, Lord, ever seek to deepen our relationship with you, to purposefully praise you, to purposefully and wholeheartedly trust you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.